The following program may contain content that your kids would love to hear, but you may not want them to.
The Frank is on.
You're kidding.
The donut lady has other stuff, too. The donut lady has napkins.
I'm scared as hell.
And now, on with the show.
Now?
From...
Song was written by Fred Ebb and John Cantor.
Shut up! I'm talking now, Frank. Let's sing this together, you and me.
Don Costa. And stolen.
He's dead too. Move on.
Start spreading the news.
This is dedicated to my hometown.
I am leaving today.
But not quick enough.
I want to be a part.
Oh, okay, I can make sure I just...
New York.
Oh, he's going to improvise.
He is.
He's Vagabond Blue.
Vagabond Blue.
They are longing to stray.
You got a live version here, and he's got this thing in his voice.
I am. The very heart of it.
I go last.
New York. I want to wake up in a city that doesn't sleep. And I'm king of the hill, top of the heap. My little town blue.
Come on, everybody, you know the words.
They are melting away. I'm gonna make a brand new start of it in old New York.
Make it anywhere.
It's up to you. New York.
Keep the mic still. What is wrong with these people?
Attention all broadcasters, attention all broadcasters, get to the back of the line if you think you were on the internet before me. Me, Frank Attolo, right here, chronicling. I am the Bard of Broadcasting. I am the godfather of internet radio, broadcasting, alternative broadcasting, the most fascinating man on the internet. There ain't no doubt about it, unless you think differently. I am the third man looking over your shoulder and making sure that you're there at your shoulder.
And not I'm the vegetable man, too, because you gotta eat vegetables. Come on, it's time for the show that is adorned by my name, Cthulhu Chronicles. Charles Dennis and Michael Swan are with us. Soon, stay with us. From ice cap to ice cap, from Hamlet to City, from Othello and into every bordello, we warn you. That's not a warning, is it? Wake up! It's night! You know, I didn't even realize that, because I randomly picked things to run in the beginning. We have any number of collages and little things we did. That was from the old Ronette Radio that we did live. That was a great show. Good old Rick, we miss him. He passed away, but he had himself a hell of a time there, didn't he? He did. We all had a good time. It was a lot of fun. But that was from then. I have a lot of things. But I just picked that one at random, and I didn't realize this is a big week for New York because it was the, I lost track. Is it the 16th, 17th anniversary? They probably counted it incorrectly anyway, of 9/11, as the show is now 14th. It's 3 days later that we are now live, or you're listening to it lifelike on some other station somehow, sometime, someplace. It's all over the place, my friends. That's why I'm here now. And I'm here when I can be here, and when I'm not here, you know, you'll get a repeat or something. Time goes on. I've been here an awful long time. I don't mean just now, even though it probably seems like a half hour to you already, but it's not. Let me tell you what's coming up. Charles Dennis, once again, coming back at will, at large, has reached a pinnacle point, and we're going to talk about that. And Michael Swan, who not only is acts and performs. I say perform. Instead of saying acting, I say perform. I don't like acting. Acting has a bad connotation to it. Are you telling the truth? Are you acting? Yeah, like, no. You know you're acting. Performing, because everyone uses themselves in the art of acting differently. So let's say performing. Michael Swan, who you might know, and I don't know about a lot of you young people, because I don't think you watch daytime soap operas. And I know that daytime soap operas have gone the way of all, they down the Hallelujah Trail. They've suffered a bunch of casualties also, because everything is changing one moment at a time. And I'm here to, I don't want to say I told you so. But we knew it was going to happen. Here we are now, and we'll be here forever and ever, amen, or whatever, however. Until forbid, that's the phrase I want to use. We'll be here until forbid. But as for today, and not forbid, tonight, tomorrow, whenever you're listening, because there's this timeless thing about when this show is on or not on or whatever, we want to make sure you hear it. And if you miss any shows or want to go back, you go to where? I was going to see. You see how my mind, it's constant. Stream, it's not a stream, it's like a recording, it's words, it's constant dialogue or monologue, even dialogue too, because I do other voices in my head going on constantly. archivedjuicedtalk.com, we can get the archives of this show, and where you can go back, which is what archives do. You go back, you don't go back actually, I mean you go there, you don't go back in time to get them. You go to this site, you download, you stream, you do whatever you want to do, and hear ones that once were. Hopefully they have some timely reference and relevance, I should say. They should have some timely relevance. I believe they will, because even though, whatever. You be the judge, I don't want to take my judge. But there's that. And then before that, I don't know, but Michael Swan, I'm saying you kids don't know. And I say, by kids, you know by now. When I started the show, I was almost a kid. I was half a kid. I was only half an adult, maybe. Now I'm a full adult. I don't even think I can pass that test. But I do know this. If you don't know about soap operas from television, which were once incredible moneymakers and very difficult programs to pull off, because they were many times done live, you know, but that's what I mean. Hallelujah Trail, the digital format and everything else have changed the way we watch things, the way we are entertained, let's say. Okay. And so, Michael Swan, who's done any number of other things, I know that the moment I saw him on one of the episodes of Charles Dennis's At Will at Large, I said,
Yeah, I know him. I know that face. You know what this is like. If you've watched a lot, and I know you have, you watch a lot of this, that, and the other thing. Movies, television, now I don't know. And movies are on the internet movies, you know, this is, I don't need to explain this to you. Even if you've got one of those, if you're listening on one of those new X phones that cost $930, I don't know. I don't know what the deal is with that, but we do know that these, there were many great, and I guess they're history now. They should be in the Smithsonian, I would think. Many of those shows in the Smithsonian. Bad and the Beautiful, Young and the Restless, Young and the Beautiful, Bad and the Restless. This, The Guiding Light, The Guiding Hospital, General Light, and General Hospital. I enjoy doing that. You know, if you've listened to this show, you know that. My name is Frank Attolo, a man whose name adorns the title of the show. I'm here, and as I said, this is always live or lifelike on another station, but here we are. And we encourage all stations to pick us up, run us, do what you want to do with it. Just don't make money off of us. You diving germ, don't do that. That's just not right. But what am I going to do, right? What are we going to get, the internet police? There's no internet police. There's no internet air force. There's no internet army. You know, and that's the name of that game. We also want you to do things that you should do, like go to Amazon, find books. You know, everybody who's on this show, we have a lot of people on this show. Last time we did a show here was a week before last or whatever, time flies. Heather Drain was here, of course, and we told everybody to go to MondoHeather.com. So people have websites. They have things for sale. They have clips for sale. They have things for free and things to pay for, whatever. You know, I mean, but we tell you and we try to promote them. But that's not the reason they come on this show. You know, this isn't like a talk show that where just people just come on to try to sell their stuff, because that doesn't happen yet. If you do come on for that, and it's probably I know you or I'm doing you a favor or something like that, or you're just, you know, in my ballpark, in my territory, or a member of my tribe. If that's the case, then you will, of course, be here for that. We're going to have a lot more guests as fall, which is autumn. It's the only season now with two names, fall and autumn. There's not like summer and Schlemgen. It's not called summer and Schlummer. And you know what? It's not even this season all over the world, because it's that time when we're getting into the cold and the down under people in the Western Hemisphere, as they say, as they call it. They don't say it. They call it that. That is the proper name for it. Are getting ready for summer. Christmas summer in Brisbane. Christmas in Brisbane. Christmas in... what's the name? Tasmania. Tasmania. What a wonderful name for a place. Wow, how I wish I named that place Tasmania. I don't know why it's called that. Well, are there Tasmanians? Were there Tasmanians before it was Tasmania? I don't know. I don't know. I ask questions. I come up with possible solutions. Solutions to questions? No. Possible answers? And the rest is up to you. Anything you hear on this show, by the way, I hope that you write it down. Get yourself a Cattolo Chronicles notebook. There is no official notebook. You make it yourself. I always say, try to get yourself one of those Mead composition books that have wide rules. You like the thin rules, the college rule, then you do that. Okay? Either way, don't matter to me. You do what you have to do. Write it in one of those little pads with the spiral things. I don't care. But when you hear things, and you do hear a lot of things, nouns, people, places, and things, names you don't know, places you don't know, and things you don't know. When you hear on this show, when we have guests, or when I'm just talking. So write things down, and later on, go to your search engines and investigate what you want and make up your own mind. This is not one of those agenda shows, he said. An agenda shows is not one of those things, okay? I'm not a talking head, okay? And that's why I'm not on one of these big broadcasting, because I have nothing to say on these things. I really have nothing to say. All I do is, and people who say things, I question it. I guess I'm an iconoclast, but I don't like to be labeled. I get to label an iconoclast, because if an iconoclast becomes an icon, then he has to class himself or herself or itself. For that matter, my name is Frank Attolo, man's name adorns the title of the show. I'm hoping that Michael Swan and Charles Dennis can stay for a while being the entire show. because we're here until Eastern Standard Time as we record this live and broadcast and record it live. We're here for 2 hours. The guest comes on for an hour and a half or an hour and something. Maybe not a half. That would be 30 minutes. We got to get out of here at 57:10. We don't have to do anything we want. We could stop the show early if we want. Make it a shorter show. Shorter show. And speaking of shorter shows, I want to mention this. Everyone who's been asking me, Tom Savino, my former partner who had now his own show and had to take a long hiatus because of ill health, is getting better. And Savino Veritas is coming back. Now, you can listen to old Savino Veritas, and don't worry about the timeliness of those shows, because it's funny. The man is funny and makes statements, and you'll love him. You gotta love him. Tom Savino. Savino Veritas should be back in October. Here on SRN, and here on True Talk Radio, and here on, and all the other places we're on. Wherever we're on, a real radio, and by real radio, I mean, you know, real radio is the name. Wasn't that, that was real sound, real audio? What was the name of that? I don't know. It was just real something, real sound. Remember way back in the old days, that used to be the main thing to play thing? The main, what would it be? Program to play? Download a program? An application? Again, they didn't start calling them applications till way later. Way later. Then they were just, what were they? It was a program. That's all. It was a program. Okay. Replenish your press. Anyway, hello from Tom. He shall be back. You'll be with him, and you'll be there if he will. Me, I'm deeply involved in a project in my life that is taking up a lot of my, not taking, I don't want to say that, no, not, that I'm spending my time enjoying doing. It's a bad sentence. I'm sorry for it. I really am sorry. But I started it. I tried to end it with some semblance of understanding, which now you don't know what I'm talking about. But my life has just been turned left side, right side, 6 ways from Sunday. So I'm not, where did 6 ways from Sunday come up anyway? Why isn't 8 ways from Thursday, right? Thursday, 8. Why isn't it 1 day from Monday? That even makes it, that's better. That thing is turned around one way from Monday because it rhymes. But people don't want things to rhyme. It makes them sound like they're doing a poem. And of course, that means public speaking. And then people are just like scared because that's the most frightening thing in the world. But what's coming up? I want you all to know what's coming up because you on YouTube, where there are still old Cotolo Chronicle videos. Well, if you haven't seen those, or if you're new to the show, and I don't know how that happens, but if you do, and you go watch some of those, there's some laughs and stuff going on there, too, on Cotolo Chronicles, or is it Frank Cotolo? I don't even know. I don't go there. How many times am I going to look at it? I don't even listen to myself. Why should I? That's when I have an audience, right? So I don't have to listen to myself. And that would be self-conscious even if I'm talking here now. The Food Dog Productions, Charles Dennis's production house, has a YouTube page. And on that page, you can watch and listen, of course, because there's sound. It's not silent movies. You can watch the At Will, original At Will, and the At Will at Large episodes. And it's important. I think it's good to watch all these things at once, like it's a movie. You know, like 20 minutes long, so it's 24, 60, 80, 100 minutes, right? You watch the whole thing, one after another, because it's better that way. And then hit like, because you'll like it. It's good. Great actors, great actresses, great kids, great, there's kid actors too. Well, there's an actor. You don't say a kid is an actorette, because he's a little guy or she's a little girl, do you? No, you don't. But maybe someday they'll change that. The thing is that at Food Dog Productions, you can get Charles Dennis's many. I don't think certainly not all of the things that Charles Dennis have done, just like me, is you go to Frank Cotolo and you go watch those videos. And that's not everything I ever did. Why would I put everything I ever did on there? And why would anybody want to see everything I ever did? No, not a chance. But Food Dog Productions keeps you up to date with what's happening with Charles Dennis and stuff. And he has, as I've said, remarkable friends and co-workers He's a great actor himself, and he has a lot of actors, and he's a writer, and they write, and everybody writes and directs and does all sorts of things. And there's even mouth-to-mouth kissing at Will at Large. In that particular show, all right, I don't know if this should be an adult warning. No, of course adult warning. Adults are listening here, and there's no FCC listening to what I say. But I don't know, you know, don't say, I don't use profane language just because I can. I'm not like that, and I'll never be like that. Well, maybe, who knows, if my mind goes. But if my mind goes and I'm here, you'll know about it, because I'll start seeing profane language constantly. But there's I'm just telling you, don't think there's nothing, you know, there's this good, it's drama, and in drama there's romance, in romance there's touching. This stuff happens, and if, so, you know, when you watch that, you can see that. Food Dog Productions, Charles Dennis, and you could go to Facebook and make him your friend. I think Food Dog even has a page. All right. I don't know what's happening with Facebook. As I told you, if you want to get in touch with me, fcatolo@yahoo.com is the best way. You can, and some people do. I got some people. I don't go to Facebook a lot for a lot of reasons, including my workload and the things I have to do. I just don't go, you know, looking for stuff, and I don't really, you know, I don't really put a lot of stock in what I like. Announcements. I like announcements, not opinions. I'm not, you know, I don't want to go on there and there's 62. I got 1,000 talking heads and people telling me what they think about this, that, and the other thing. I don't want to talk about. I don't like do it. I don't want to do it. But I'm very busy, so I don't go on there and do that kind of stuff. Nor do I. But I do promote. I use it for promotion. That's why I was there in the first place. That's why I was at MySpace when all that stuff started. Social networking was for me. Now that I've told you everything I possibly can tell you under these circumstances, do you have some beverage? Because it's going to be a thirst time. You're going to hear some talking. We're going to have some laughing. We're going to talk. Michael Swan is a remarkable person. I hope that nothing went wrong, because you do a big buildup and then they go, oh, Michael, had an appendectomy. And there is no such thing as an appendectomy. What is it? An appendectomy. Hey, I said it right. Correctly, I mean. Not right. That's not the way to say it. I said it correctly. An appendectomy. And I hope he didn't. I mean, or if he did one time, I hope he got over it well, and I'm glad. But what I'm saying is I hope nothing went wrong, that Charles is okay and Michael's okay. Michael's never been on the show before. Now, also, I've been in touch with Kenneth Welsh, who will be a sole guest on my show as soon as he gets back from Georgia, where he's shooting something. I thought he'd retired. He wasn't doing anything anymore, but he picked up another job. You know, good, that's what happens with good actors. And you know what's great about acting and writing? There's something great about the arts themselves, and that is that you don't really have to retire. You don't have to stop unless, you know, something wrong with you, or you don't want to travel, or you don't like the parts, or whatever, or you're well off. Like Jack Nicholson, you know, just left, he gone. Gene Hackman, famous actor. And write these names down if you don't know them, my millennials. No more movies for Gene Hackman. Imagine he's going to start writing. So I don't know if he writes, but like I said, they write, they act, they do, they sing, they whatever that goes on. And I don't have much else to say other than that. I'm going to move on. I'm not going to do any spots or anything like that. Go, you know where to get the books and everything like that. We're going to look for this conversation. We'll look for it. We're going to look for it by finding, what is this? Identify the website integrity of the connection cannot be verified. For what? What is this? What are these things? Go get out of here. Look, I'm having, what? Well, yes, I want to proceed. Well, we have a security alert here, and I don't know why. Why is this? Why do I have a security alert? Hello? Oh, that's weird. Maybe I should get rid of this. I'm going to get rid of this. This is one, the identity. Look at this. There's a lot of them. The security. Does anyone know what this means? Security alert. Let's see what's happening. I don't have a security alert on my, I'm just going to put these particular windows aside and see. Oh, wait a second. We can't get on to Skype? What's going on? Well, okay, that's gone. Now, can we get on Skype now? Skype is having a problem here. Is that it? Well, here's Charles Dennis right here. Why can't I? Let me see if Charles Dennis is there. I got Charles Dennis. Let me call Charles Dennis. Let's see if there's a problem with this, because I don't really, unless he waits for the exact time, which is 9:30. It's not. It's 9:24. But I see he's not. Well, I'm marked invisible, so I don't know. There you go.
That was weird, that security alert. Oh, man, you never know what's going on. Oh, there he's up here. There he Oh, Charles Dennis. He's on, and I'm ringing, and it says he's online. All he's got to do is answer. Yeah, don't you love that? That's the Skype. It's a boop. I can harmonize with it. Boop. Go on. Boop. We're ringing Charles Dennis here at to be on our show. Because that's what, you know, maybe he's looking for Michael Swan. Michael Swan, do you count rings when you call someone, anyone out there? Do you do that? So I'm like, what? You know why you don't anymore? Let me hang up and call him again. What is this? Call, no answer. Send an IM. No. Wonder why we had a security alert. The deal was, what happened? Where'd he go now? Now he's disappeared. Here he comes. So there's Charles. There's Charles right there. There's Charles.
I just said you should.
Charles? Oh, now Charles is gone. And see, we're having problems here. Let's call this again. I'll call him back. This is Skype, my friend. Skype is. Yeah. Skype is.
Hello.
Hello, Charles.
Hey, Frank.
You can hear me, right?
Yes.
Huh. Well, Skype was doing weird things there. I called you, and then you called me, and then I heard you saying.
Well, I called you a couple of times earlier today, and then I was always going to voicemail with you.
Oh, because, you know, I don't do, I'm rarely on Skype other than, well, anyway, why?
No, but the phone number that you gave me, yeah.
Oh, you mean the landline? You called my landline?
Yeah, what? That's the number that you gave me.
Wow. How come I didn't get a message? Because I checked and they said there were no messages.
Well, and the thing said the customer is unavailable or something.
Really?
What was that?
Those dirty.
Are we on the air?
Yeah, we're on the air now.
Oh, because I said that I was not able to do the show. I was trying to, but I mean, here I am. So I'll do it for a while. I just.
Okay.
I can't get it. We have a little family crisis here.
Oh, well, hey, look, I could dig something else up if you got to do what you got to do.
No, I'm happy to talk to you for a while. Swan is supposed to be Swan Actor. Have you found him?
Oh yeah, I've been talking about him and I wrote him up on the blog there and
have you been able to hook into him?
No. Oh, I thought he was going to be with you. We have a lot of miscommunication here, don't we?
Yeah. No. He's at his place.
Oh, okay. Well,
he's supposed to be.
Okay. Why don't I put him in here and see and try to get him? Can he?
Yeah, Swan Actor.
So he would do the show anyway?
I think so. I haven't spoken to him today, but I mean, I told him to be available at 6:30.
I got Swan Actor. Just Swan Actor?
On Skype, I asked him, what is your Skype name?
Yeah, he said, Swan Actor. Here he goes.
Yeah, but
Michael
then I
Swan.
Went on trying.
I got him. Michael Swan. I'm going to add to here. I'm going to put add to contacts. Hey, Michael Swan, I'd like you to be in contact. It's me. I'll say it's me. Well, even though they'll see my name.
I sent you some stuff yesterday about him as well. Did you get that?
I got that stuff, yes.
Interviews.
I got
the other thing that's probably not there, that you know, when I first met him, he was the star of Will Geer's Theatricum Botanicum, this outdoor Shakespeare company.
Oh.
And he was the most remarkable Petruchio ever in Taming of the Shrew. He made the entrance for his wedding wearing only a pair of tidy whities and a Chief Thunderthud headdress, riding on a horse.
Be a good Petruchio. Yeah, he'd be a great.
He was fabulous. He was fabulous. Okay, so I can't get him to do Shakespeare anymore. He's done with the theater completely. But, but he was great.
Well, let's see if he writes back to me now. And if he does, then we can let you go and take care of yourself here. I hope everything is okay, whatever is going on there. But
it's Ulrika's kids, and it's just a whole thing. I don't want to get.
Yeah, no, you don't.
This is going out of the air. Let's not talk about it.
No, no way. We don't do that kind of stuff. We don't do that.
No, but
I watched.
I've got some. Okay. Yeah, you watched what?
I did catch episode 5.
Yeah.
I caught episode 5. And then you're there at the end and saying, hey, so you have something planned for us seeing anybody seeing the rest
Do you absolutely wanna... as a feature yeah. I'm gonna, you know, the picture that you saw on Facebook is from the new shoot, and we're, you know, it's going to be a movie called Barking Mad, which is Atwill's favorite expression right. for all the strange Americans that he meets. They're all barking mad, and we hope to have it done by Christmas.
And where you're going to put the feature on? Where?
Oh, we'll start doing the festivals. You know, go for distribution. You know, hopefully get it on Netflix sure. or Hulu or someplace.
Right. Well, that'd be great. We'll have to keep everybody, because you don't know what happens.
Exactly. You know? Exactly.
And all these rich characters getting into various conundrums. And
Ed Asner has been complaining that how come I'm not an Atwill? So he'll be in the movie.
Yeah. How's he doing?
He's great. Yeah. He's great. I just spoke to him today. He was on his way to Nashville. There's so many different, you know, and he's back next week, so I guess he's doing a guest shot on something. There's so many shows being done in Nashville now.
Really?
Maybe he's going to be on Nashville. Isn't there a show called Nashville?
I don't know. I'm out of touch with a lot of TV shows. All right, and I have to thank you, too, for getting me back in touch with Kenneth. He had to go. He said he had a part. He had to go to Georgia.
He was shooting in Atlanta.
Yeah.
And I haven't heard from him, so I assume that he's down there still.
Yeah. I did, too, because he said he'd get back to me towards the end of September.
Yeah, it's a new series called Lodge 49.
Mm-hmm.
And he's down there doing the show.
I was surprised because I could have sworn that when he was on with us, he had said, "Oh, I'm retired now, so I don't care."
Oh, please, he's retired till he gets an offer.
And then he said, "Well, I can't. I'd like to be on, and I will be on," he said, and I appreciate it. So I said, "Well, yeah, definitely." So I told all my, these people who have seen him here and there, and they're all just dying to hear a lot of other stuff he's got going for him. And now, Michael, I was looking through Michael's stuff and everything. You know, the first time I saw Michael on Atwill. I couldn't place him, but I knew immediately when I saw him, I went, "I know that guy. I know him." And I can't put my finger. I went on the exact place that I know, where I know him from.
Well, he was on Soaps for years and years
in
New York.
He
played this Scott, you know, Duncan something or other on one of those shows. And then he had a series years ago, briefly on NBC called Cliffhangers. He and Susan Anton.
Huh.
Did that show together, but he's been on he's been on everything.
Right. But I just can't, you know, I'm always trying to place the origin of my sighting of these various people. I mean, him has just been bothering me all the way through. I'm going like, I know him. And I can't think of one thing, you know.
Did you find him? Have you been able to reach him?
I have not been able to reach him here right now. And he's not around. Or he hasn't answered me. He hasn't answered me. I've my contact thing. So I don't know how else to do this.
His phone is 818-43.
Oh, wait. Don't give me his phone over the air. I don't think I'm...
No. Yeah. That's right. No, yeah, good. I'll text that. I'll email you.
Yeah, email
right
me.
Now.
And I'll try to get him there. But he should be somewhere on here if he's waiting on Skype. I don't know. Well, you know, we'll deal with that. You know, the soap operas, I know of them, and of course, some of them go back to when I was a kid. Actually, I remember my mom watching, those things. But I don't know if that's where, I know that is possible too. You know, when I was younger, and I saw this guy, and then later on, I see him and I recognize him, that's possible too. Cause I don't remember watching, in my adult life, watching soaps. I don't know these. No,
I just emailed you his phone number.
Okay. I could somehow try to get him and see what's going on with that. But so what else do you want to say before you go? I know you got to go, and a whole bunch of other things I'll talk about.
There's so much going on, but it's nothing is signed right yet. But the next time we speak, Frank, and also the next person we have to have on with us is Pete Sepinuk, who plays Farrow in that, well, you know, one of the two hitmen, one with Brent Huff, and he's also in Chicanery, and he's marvelous. He's just one, and he's one of the big voiceover guys. guys.
I also have to get back in touch with, I have to get back in touch with Michael, Laskin, because I told him I was going to get back in touch with him. We were going to do a little fun thing with acting.
Good.
But then I didn't get, because I heard he was on the road or something. Wasn't he on the road doing something a while?
I don't know. He just got back from Minneapolis because they're talking about doing my play, Altman's Last Stand, which mm-hmm. he starred in here last year. They're talking about doing it up there. We're just waiting to finalize that deal. He'll be doing it live up there.
Well, I'll have to get a hold of him and Kenneth and everybody.
Yeah, yeah.
I thank you for all these introductions because these people
are
great.
You're more than welcome. They're great. We can hook them all up sometime. Have a big Christmas show or something.
Well, yeah, right. So in any event, in all events, and certainly in this event, then I will release you from this show and I'll try to get them.
I'm sorry about this, Frank. I'm signing off.
It's okay. Don't you worry about it because things happen and that's the way it goes. And we don't do any editing or anything. That's it.
Yep.
They'll be listening for you again.
Thanks, Frank.
Stay well. Bye.
Bye-bye.
See, I told you that these kind of things can happen, right? And they just did. So now I'm waiting to see if Michael Swan, that was Charles Dennis, of course. Now I'm waiting to see if Michael Swan will get in touch with me. And I can't do a call on this messaging disabled until, because that's very strange. Things happen, and this is not the first time any of this stuff happened. It's only 9:35. I said, we got an hour and a half here, and now I'm always placed in my painted into the corner. As I am right now. This has happened I don't know how many times in my life. It's nobody's fault. But I find a way to get through it and talk about other stuff. And we can talk about other stuff. Or we can maybe find someone else. If Michael doesn't show up, we'll find somebody else. And look at all these people who are... Everybody's... A lot of people are online right now. And I don't get that. Hey, look. a guy named Al Smith is connected. And I said, Al Smith, the former... No, you're Al Smith. No, that can't be the same guy. Look at this. All these people. Look at this guy. You know, if you're like me, you don't clean out a lot of these things often. Maybe this is like a good time to like just call people. And go, hey, what are you doing? Who are you? Why are you on my list? You know, do you ever get calls like that? Or, you know, emails? You're making emails. And the emails are like, you know, who are you? You know, or looking like on Yahoo, on an IM, an instant messenger. See, I had to say that. Why did I say that? Because there might be people who don't know what I'm talking about when I say IM. On an instant messenger, someone says, hi, hello, hi, and you go, hi. And you see the name and you don't know the name and obviously they don't name because they go, is there any reason why you're on my IM? Who are you? You know, you do have, you know, in life, there is only so many people you talk to a lot. And that particular relationship may only last this long. If you could see me, you'd know that I was making a sign of length. With my hands. So when you think about all the people that you could have on an IM list, then you go, what? What? Hey, what? You know, I just thought of something, and I don't know much about, you know, Skype and the things. I don't know much about how this stuff works. Really, I just, you know, turn the on and everything like that. So there are features of, and I've talked about this before. Every time I get a digital device or program, there are always features that I have no idea are available. I learned to use a program or a device exactly how I need to. And then as I learn as I need to learn more. Notice, so I recently got a tab and I got my tab and I go, geez, I don't know. I wonder if I could do this. So I'll ask my sons. Because, you know, them being millennials, they know this stuff. And so they go, you know, you could do this, Dad. And then they'll do it. And then I'll either learn it if I have to, or just forget about it. If I just need it for that one time. Because I don't really need to have the ability to do all the things that any given device or program presents. You know, it's better to silence and you find the correct word so that you can express yourself. Oh, there I go again, being pedantic. Pedantic. He's being pedantic. Don't you love Bugs Bunny? Does anybody out there not know Bugs Bunny? Because Bugs Bunny, in my life, when I was in Hollywood, friends of mine, you know, agents and you know, people behind the scenes, people who knew me for writing and comedy and whatever the hell else I did, they'd say, they would go, you're like Bugs Bunny. You're Bugs Bunny. And so maybe on this show, oh, look at that. Does that even start? Oh, now I got two of those. Where'd that go? Oh, yeah. Maybe I should call this the Bugs Bunny show. No, I can't. No, you don't get arrested, right? Let me see. It's very possible that there are millennials or people out there, or people, like millennials aren't people, millennials or people. Excuse me. There's running an ad now. Ads everywhere. Everywhere. Is that what keeps the internet going? Nothing but ads? I'm going to look. Does everybody know? Now, the great thing about Bugs Bunny is a cartoon character from, geez, I don't even know the history of Bugs Bunny. But when I was a kid, there were the Bugs Bunny, and then Bugs Bunny is a, and I love that name, is Bugs Bunny. Bugs. He's crazy, you know? And he talks, I'm going to show you by example, because I'm looking at, I'll move this over here. We're just going to have to play this by here, Bugs. It's funny, too, because if you put in Bug at YouTube, you get one of the, immediately right up is Bugs Bunny. Bugs Bunny. It was in Looney Tune cartoons. Oh God, 54 hours. There's Looney Tunes. They're not going to let you play that. See if there is a little, Bugs Bunny and Sam, 3 minutes and 17. Okay. I don't know if you know Yosemite Sam or, you know, I'll tell you which one is Bugs Bunny. And then you can look it up there later. Now you listen to Bugs Bunny talk, even though I guess, you know, I'm older than I was when they gave me that particular moniker. Why don't we listen to Bugs Bunny? Let's make sure it's not a commercial here, because you know, that's the way this goes. Hold on. Let me mute this. Does it move along? Does it move along? Oh, yeah, it does, but it's muted. Okay. How come you don't see it? What the hell's going on? Such is weird. Everything's getting weirder, stranger. Here is Bugs Bunny. Here we go. Now, when you hear Bugs, there's Looney Tunes. Anybody know Looney Tunes? We can do this because we can have this. Oh, download three steps. Here, Looney Tunes, Bugs Bunny, and it says...
walking, you doggone long-eared galoot.
Just a minute, partner. You can't talk to me like that.
Okay, now that was Bugs Bunny. Just a minute, partner. You get... the other guy is this, his foil. But Bugs Bunny, who lives in a hole in the ground, and then, you know... you'll listen. I can want to look at this. The download things comes up. Even Google, even YouTube is changing so much. I don't want to download. Can I? Can I get rid of this thing? I guess not. Huh? Well, anyway, listen to this. If those of you who don't know, or later on, I can look at Bugs Bunny.
Them fighting words. Them
fighting words.
I dare you to step over this line.
Okay, I'm a stepping.
I dare you to step over this one.
This one. Look,
this
right
one.
To the edge of a cliff, all right? Oh, there goes Yosemite. He falls down, and somehow Bugs is... and he's shooting at Bugs Bunny. This is a Bugs Bunny cartoon. I have no idea the name of this one. I wanted to get more talking from Bugs. Let's get more talking. Bugs?
He ain't getting nowhere.
Here, wait. Here we go. Here's Bugs again. Tell me if this sounds like me.
Hey, wait a minute, Sam. We ain't getting nowheres. We're right back where we started.
Say, you're plumb right, varmint.
Tell you what, we'll do?
What?
We'll make like the Western pictures and play cards.
Play cards?
And the loser gets out of town.
They're going to play cards. That's cool. Here goes, Bob.
Gin rum is my game, Sam.
Okay, cut the cards.
Cut the cards he uses a meat cleaver. Right? Literal comedy, right?
Your first play. Come on, put down the card.
All right, don't rush me.
All right.
And my head hurts.
Let me interrupt it here for a second. The guy who's responsible for the voices on these Looney Tunes, there's one fella. One guy's name was Mel Blanc, and this is the one guy that's here doing both of these voices. You're going, well, how's that if they overlap? Well, you know, he does one voice and he does another one. Okay? So this is one guy, and so you could tell the difference here, just, you know, Bugs. It's only another minute or so. Let's see what he's doing. Okay, I'm describing it, what's going on here. Puts down.
Jim, you lose.
Bugs wins because
so long, goodbye. Have a nice day.
He brings him his luggage.
You're going to Chicago and don't forget to wait once in a while. Taxi, hurry up,
in
you go. Jim, to the station, Mac.
A yellow coach, right there. God, there's so much music in these things.
Bye, bon voyage, Sammy.
Bon voyage, Sammy. Uh-oh, Miami Special, all these beautiful girls. Whoa! Now they both want to go on the train. Now they're fighting. Come on, Bugs. Speak. Oh, that's it.
So long, Sammy. See you in Miami.
So long, Sammy. See you in Miami, says Bugs Bunny. Now, I grew up with Bugs Bunny. And the Bugs Bunny character is very much of an anti-establishment figure, a rebel, a rogue, where did that go? Hello? There's more. Didn't I just stop this? What's happening with all these programs and things? They don't even let you stop? Who asked for another one? That's weird. That's weird. What if I go home? I'll hit home. And then that way it won't be any trouble. Wow. Wild. Bugs Bunny was, there, you know, there's lots of, anti-heroes. Anti-hero, as they say, like, you know, that was a big thing in the 60s, and the 50s, you know, the anti-hero came onto the stage, the theater stage, TV stage, and it was a different kind of hero. It wasn't like the Lone Ranger, you know, or Robin Hood. It was different. He was an anti-hero. So he was the hero. He was your character. He was the guy who saved everything or what have you. And there were women too. But Bugs Bunny was an anarchist. And he took control of all situations that are perpetrated by people who do normal things. That's the Bugs Bunny thing. Very much the way Groucho Marx behaved, his character behaved, not him, his character behaved in those movies where he was Groucho Marx, but, you know, the Marx Brothers. This chaotic, and I say anarchy because, not because there's a political connotation, there is no political connotation, but it's involved with being able to turn things on their face and battle the norm. And I take that stuff very seriously. I think that and literature in my life and some music here and there, of course, set the stage, wrong thing. I guess injected me and injected my personality with the various elements that made those characters. And Bugs Bunny is still an incredible force in my life in lots of ways. Now, you know that I've talked about, if you don't know, I have also talked about a duo of cartoon influences, two magpies, Heckle and Jekyll. I've talked about Heckle and Jekyll, and I've played their songs and their cartoons here, even though you can't see them. And I know that people have told me, especially millennials,
So I'd like to introduce these wonderful things that are available to you people who haven't seen these. If you just think that, I mean, there's some wild and crazy and wonderful stuff out there. And the stuff that millennials watch these days, whether it's on, you know, Adult Swim or the cartoon channel, whether it's Rick and Morty or whatever the other ones happen to be, it would not be available to anyone. They wouldn't even be there were it not for these other ones. Bugs Bunny is like one character, and Heckle and Jekyll's a team. They're two magpies. I don't know if magpies stay together. I don't know who created these things. I haven't looked into that. I know, I don't have, maybe I did it one time and I don't remember. I don't know. But if I'm recommending things that you millennials should see, oh boy, I'm telling you, you've got to see Bugs Bunny. I can't talk much about Bugs Bunny. I don't know a lot about the history of Bugs Bunny, but you know, all these things for me to tell you, I could just give you snippets of various things and then you can find out by looking it up. This show is, always has been a pointer, I don't know, a suggestion house. There's no such thing as a suggestion house. I don't know what I'll do. I don't know what to do. Why don't you go to the suggestion house and they'll tell you, here, why don't you do this? And there's no such thing. But it's this show, I've often talked about things and then, suggested you go watch them and you get what you get out of them. Some of them are things people don't like, and some of them are things people do like. So and I don't know how many times I ever talked about Bugs Bunny. Rather than just say something wrong, incorrect. The dynamics of the show, the dynamics of me. See, Bugs doesn't have the dynamics. But you know, when he talk fast, and you know, I still do have a pretty high voice for a person who is the person I am, which is older but and wiser. But here comes, remember before this all happened, before I started, who thought I was going to talk about Bugs Bunny? This is how life goes with everyone. You don't know, so then you have to improvise to get go and move on. Now I could just say, "Well, my guests aren't here tonight, so I'm." But no, I don't want to pat myself on the back. But you know what I'm talking about. I'll just move on, and that'll be that. I do promise you this though. If Michael Swan does not show up tonight, he will show up. I swear to you. Let me see. I wonder if I contacts. Yeah, let me go back. Recent? No. See, here's Michael Swan. And it's, can you call him? You can't call someone you don't know. I can? Look at this. I'm calling Michael's. No answer. Send an IM. You know, I could do that. Or retry calling. Yeah. I didn't know you could do that if it wasn't a contact because I requested him and, still not there. If Michael Swan, remember I said, oh, you know, I hope nothing's happened. That's not because I have a superpower that tells me things. I'm not a pontificator, which is not the word. No, I'm not. I am a pontificator. I pontificate a few things. I could be a procrastinator is not what I was talking about, nor prestidigitator. Although, and then I was on prestidigitators once. Very, very strange. I had a lot of side effects. No, I'm not a prophet. It's not the word I'm even looking to find. It has Dr. Pete, doesn't it? Everybody take out I don't know, thesauruses. The roar of a thesaurus. I heard the thesaurus. And when the first time I heard about thesaurus, I was a young boy. And I'm thinking like, well, is that like one of those prehistoric monsters? Dinosaurs were big in my day too. Well before there were you know, Jurassic Parks and CGIs and even before there were total animated, well, no, I guess they were always on animated. In my day, there were always animated dinosaurs. That goes back to the silent movies, but which is the 20s and the 18s and the teens. I don't know. I don't know what dates to give you with that. But I'm trying to think of this. There's this one, I think it's called The Unknown Island. An Island Unknown? The Unknown Island? I'm going to have to look this up. There's this one movie with Jacques Mahoney. Who's Jacques Mahoney? Well, I'd say that's Sally Fields' father, and you'd go, what? Sally Fields? Sally who? Sally Fields? Is that where the Dodgers played many years ago? No, they didn't play. My references, I don't know what to do with my references anymore, because I know I have young listeners, but here's what bothers me about that. I know people who are not my age, but, you know, maybe the generation before me, and they have no idea when I drop names or mention something or make a reference to a name or something. They have no idea. I think it's Destination Unknown? No. The law, is it Island? The Lost Destination? Now I'm really lost. I don't know. Let's see here. I'm going to put in Jacques Mahoney. Mahoney is a great name. It's a funny name. I'm going to put in Jacques Mahoney, and then we'll find out movies. Here he is on IMDb. I could just go there. I'm still wondering what the heck that security allowance I got. What was that all about? Everything's safe. I don't know. Yes, he's here at IMDb. Let me tell you a little bit about Jacques Mahoney, who's like, now we're talking about me as a kid. Jacques Mahoney played, he was a cowboy. He was once a Tarzan. He was in these movies that when did he die? 89. How old was he? 70. Jacques Mahoney, Jacques Mahoney was, he's of French and Irish extraction with some Cherokee. He didn't have to send away for his DNA kit to find that. He found out at the University of Iowa he was outstanding in swimming, basketball, and football. Yeah, he was on stage. I don't know him on stage. Never saw him on stage. On screen, he was active. He was a swashbuckler and a cowboy. He was the Range Rider, for God's sakes. In any event, in all events, it certainly is an event. It says here, when World War II broke out, he enlisted as a Marine fighter pilot. Can you enlist as a fighter pilot? You know, it's like, wait a second. I never even thought of that. I want to enlist in the Marines. And you go like, you know, anything you want to be? And they go, I want to be a fighter pilot. Okay, here's a plane. You're considering yourself a Marine now. Get in that plane and fight. There's no such thing. You can't do that. So you enlist and then you become a fighter pilot. And if it's a war is on, it's going to take you a while to be a fighter pilot. So these things, this is the way I think. Anyway, it says here, he enlisted as a fighter and instructor. So maybe he knew how to fly already. Who knows, right? In Hollywood, he was a noted stuntman, and he doubled for many big stars and then, of course, became his own star. Now I'm going to look for, and I remember him as a kid because he was Range Rider, a cowboy TV series from 1951 to 53. And I know you're saying like, well, boy, you're that old. Well, no, I was very young in 51 and 53, but they played that thing all the way. Here it is, The Land Unknown. Here's the movie. I'm going to now go to this movie. I'm going to tell you about this movie. There are dinosaurs in The Land Unknown. Here's The Land Unknown, 1957. Director Virgil W. Vogel. Also known as Virgil Vogel, the W, also known without the middle initial, my friends, is Virgil Vogel. Never heard it. Never, ever heard it. I love looking at these things because there are people who have done things that are, you know, writers and movies and actors. And that's what's great about having guys like Michael Swan and Kenneth Welsh and Charles Dennis. You know these guys, you see them, and then they're like real. And you go, wow, okay, these guys actually make a living, but you don't see them like every day. And they're not these superstars walking down the red carpet and making award shows or what have you. It's always a bit different. But so here's... This International Movie Database is a great place to go if you know the name of a movie, or you find a name of a movie, or you want to find a character actor or a singer or something or anything you want to see. And you put that in there, and then you get this history, this trivia, there's information. And if you forget something like I do here and there, and that's not just age, I do forget things because, these things can be forgotten, you know? So there's that. Well, let me move this over now that I'm here. See, I'm here all alone now with you. And I'm not alone. You're not alone. If you're with you, then I am with you, just you and me, sitting here, and I'm trying to figure out this. And I showed here, I'm on International Movie Dubs, and I've gotten from Bugs Bunny to Jock Mahoney. I don't mind telling you about these people because, again, you take out your composition book or whatever it is, you know, you could just call it your Cotolo Chronicles notebook, whatever it is, even if it's a little pad, you know, or the, you know, something like Native Americans send out, you know, packages to people. And inside the package, you get return address stickers. They don't even ask you. And they want to make you feel guilty. You know, diseases do this too. Not diseases don't do it, but people who are fighting diseases and organizations that fight diseases. And they send you stuff that you didn't ask for this stuff. Okay. But you get it for free. And then, they go like, why don't you give us a donation? Look what we did. We printed this stuff and sent it, you know, and it's like, so you do. And then they make you feel, I don't ever feel guilty. That's not my point. I'm just saying. What we're going to do though, before I get into the Jock Mahoney thing, and then find out if Michael Swann is still available or there for or what have you. What I'm going to do is, take a minor break. And I'm looking for some fun things to put on there too while we all go over to to dispose of some precious bodily fluids, because I know you've probably all, as I did, we probably all did some drinking liquids because we have to. And then we have to do that. Then I'm going to play some of this stuff that has to do with what? This has to do with, I'm only going to do my stuff. I'm not going to do. See, I'm putting in the queue some just PSAs and PR, not PSAs, and things that have to do with us, me. Like you might be some book ads or, and some other things that go on here. And then what you're going to do, well, look, there's a spot for Juice Talk Radio. How long is that? That must be a long one, huh? And then what we're going to do is come back. And talk about this other stuff, and we'll take this show to where it goes. I might even end with the third man. We'll play the third man because we love to do that. See if there's anything else. Well, anything else I can find? What's this? Waste. Oh, there's things I don't even know. All right, we'll do this too here because we want that. How about we do this, and then we'll come back. So go get yourself some. Go dispose of some. I know you replenish. No, you did replenish your precious bodily fluids. Now go get rid of some. If you want to run off to the bathroom, make a quick cheese sandwich or something. Get two pieces of bread and put inside of it some lunch meat or dinner meat or breakfast meat right there. Or make it a quick egg, hard-boiled egg, or whatever you want to do. And then you'll come back and you'll hear that I'm talking again. And we'll do that, okay?
Service announcement now. Notify your congressman immediately if you have a complaint about life in America. Remember, your congressman is American, and although he won't respond to your complaint, us Americans should at least know what each other is.
In a world where reading is dying out, a new champion emerges. wacky escapades. Parallel universes.
Hello, everyone. This is me, Frank Cattolo.
There's never a dull moment as Frank weaves a tale of a writer making you laugh, chuckle, and learn a bit about life. Pick up License to Scale by Frank Cattolo, now on Amazon for your Kindle.
Hi, I'm the narrator. Let's see what Frank Cattolo is up to in the studio.
I'm about to have a duel with my co-host, Jeremy Long.
All of a sudden, a bear attacks out of nowhere.
Oh no! All of a sudden, a bear is attacking out of nowhere!
The bear chews Frank in half and then turns towards Jeremy.
I don't have a lot of time here, mainly because this is only a 30-second spot, and I'm facing imminent death. Listen to Cattolo Chronicles live Thursday nights from 9 to 11 p.m. at 148.ca SRN Media Works with me, Frank Cattolo, and Jeremy Long. Say goodbye, Jeremy. That's enough.
I want to tell you to do one thing, though, and if you'll pay attention to me, it might save your life. I want you to buckle up and live. Seatbelts and shoulder harnesses can be your second chance. Now, if you never had an accident, you could be next, because you gamble every time you get in your car. Now, you cut down the odds against you getting killed, you understand, by buckling up your seatbelt or your harness. Use them as advised by your car's manufacturer, and have your passengers use them, too. Automobile accidents can be deadly. Be sure you get that second chance. Buckle up and live.
Everybody's voting for the friendly voice of radio, the people's choice. Music, weather, sports, and news, it's radio. The people choose. Everybody's swinging to the swinging voice of radio, the people's choice. Big fry, small fry, gone to dawn, it's radio. The turns are on, swinging.
It does. It's the way it used to be. It ain't that way anymore, is it?
Ain't? Isn't? Don't say ain't. It ain't that way.
Why does that word exist if nobody should say it isn't that way anymore? Yes, it's me, Frank Cattolo, man whose name adorns the title of the show. You're listening to Cattolo Chronicles. I am the third man, as in this theme from the third man, which in itself is a neo-postmodern song. And the very people who take credit for writing it, stole it, or borrowed from an old zither tune. It's the way everything happens. Everything. Nothing is original. What is original? Look up the word original. Start looking and investigating things that you take for granted. A lot of things you take, I'm sure, take for granted a lot of things, right? Don't you? I'm sure you do. Well, in any event, in all events, and certainly in this event, our scheduled guest, Charles Dennis, was here for a while. Unfortunately, he has a family problem and tried to get in touch with me all day, but I'm not easy to get in touch with by any means. Everybody has a device and they keep it on all day, you know? So he said he called my landline, and I was gone for a while, but I thought I checked all of my messages. Maybe I didn't. You know, I'm subject to erring now and then anyway. And Michael Swan, who I never got the connection for on Skype, I never got the address, and now I have it, and I guess he realizes that whatever happened tonight didn't happen. Now, these things go on. You know, Charles is very good about all this stuff. And all these wonderful people that come on based on Food Dog Productions at YouTube.com. Go there and
watch some things going on. In the meantime, the third man, we're going to get back to whatever I was talking about, introducing you into more pieces of pop culture that you may find fascinating. Until then, it's me, Bugs, Frank, Bugs Bunny, Catullo. I don't know. Bugs is a good thing for me. And when you think that you've seen everything you can, you look to see the first, the second, and the third man. Well, you like putting lyrics to things like that. That's like a hobby. Some people make paper airplanes. I don't think people do that for a hobby. Is there a paper airplane club in America or in Canada? I wonder if there is a paper airplane club. You know, there are such organizations everywhere. They don't hear about a lot of them anymore, unless they have websites, because now everything has a website, right? Even, forget, don't go. And now that everything has a Twitter account. I told you, that's funny. It's really funny, because the rate of growth, and by rate, the time, the quickness, the speed in which the internet's elements, programs, media moves, it's meteoric. Really, right? Because I could remember sitting here, I don't know what year, and it's still, you know, even if you're talking 6, 7 years or 8 years, it's not a lot in a decade, because it's less than 10, which is a decade. But I mean, it's still not a lot per se. And then I can remember sitting here and Kirk Brando coming on this show and saying, there's this new website, Twitter. I'm going to tell you something else that's bothering me. And now the things that bother me, I know I'm right about. And that makes me feel better. I don't bother with this other stuff and get upset about things. You know, I've had it with that junk. It's all junk. I don't even care if you call it, what he called patriotism is junk. Religion is junk. To me, it's just like, I just don't bother. Okay. You could do all you want with it. I don't care. I'm not trying to judge you. I'm just saying I don't do it. Okay. But I do, it bothers me when people do not express themselves. However it is, I don't care. I'm not asking to, I'm not judged or anything, judge you or anything. I just, it bothers me when people do things, especially on television and the media itself does things like this. Here's Twitter, which became an incredibly popular and commercial international influence upon things that happen. You know, I mean, you know, the United States has a president that, an email. The United States has a president who uses Twitter. And tweets to circumvent the media, whatever. I mean, you know, Obama did it too, but okay. But here, what I'm talking about is social media is there. And here's Twitter now. It's a public corporation too, right? So you could buy stock in it and everything. It's a big, it's a gigantic thing. And a language, so we know he has a tweet. He sent a tweet. You do something to a tweet. And if it's a verb, you tweet. Period. I guess you could make it he tweeted. Or you could say a few days ago, so he did tweet. All right. And then you start sounding snobby, but I guess you could say tweeted. But this is the one that really bothers me. None of that bothers me per se. All right. Here's the thing. Tweet is the action. When you tweet, that's the action of writing or sending a tweet. 140 characters, even though now they're cooking up something where you could do more, but forget about it. The point is the basic function, right? 140 characters, put your hashtags or whatever you want and at to whoever else you want to put on this tweet, and all count, all they all count, right? All the characters count. Just like in a play, all the characters count. No incidental character, but he's a character, okay? You tweet. Send a tweet. But you don't do this. And here's what they're saying on the news now. The other day, he tweeted out. You don't tweet out. You tweet. Does that sound like it bothers me? Yeah, I'm Bugs. Hey, Bugs. Yeah, what? you could have this little character that I could have they used to do that in old time radio. Yeah, you know, when radio was radio. When radio was king. When people did more than just call up and go, yeah, hello. Yeah, I hate people who aren't my people. And then like, yeah, you're right, you know, says the right wing talk show guy with his big fat face. Yeah, you know, and then Alex Jerk. Okay, look, I know what's going on here. I know what's happening. And I'm just saying, you know, don't say tweet out. And they say it on the news, so people think it's okay to say, and then they say it. Just like I told you, what bothered me is terrible. These hurricanes, those two hurricanes in America were horrible. I mean, yeah, is there a good hurricane? I don't know. I've been in a hurricane here and there in my life, but you know, there's no good. But the weathermen who know meteorology, who know science, math, and yet when they talked about a number of them too, now I'm not talking about just one or two, a number of them talked about the hurricane moving, because hurricanes move. They travel on land. They have landfall or they're upsetting anything. The hurricane, everything beneath the hurricane is being upset, affected by the hurricane. 160 winds, 160 miles an hour winds, 89 miles an hour. Doesn't matter, right? It's all being affected. And the weathermen, the meteorologists, excuse me, don't call me a weatherman, I'm a scientist, I'm a meteorologist. They said that as the hurricane travels further up the coast, God damn it, it's farther. They don't know the difference between further and farther. Is it too much to ask that they be correct? Growing up, I looked up to people who were in broadcasting. I looked up to people who were speaking in public, singing in public, talking for the public, performing for the public. And I assumed, even then incorrectly, because not everyone was, really using the language to its utmost and fullmost? What am I talking about? You know what I'm saying? I looked up to them and I didn't hear, when I heard things that were incorrect, I went, geez, why does he do this? A professional. These people get paid to talk. They get paid to communicate. If you get paid to communicate, you should communicate correctly using the language in which you do communicate. So I'll say I'm very disappointed in Bill Karens of NBC, who's on MSNBC, he's on NBC, he's on all the NBC affiliates and NBC. He's the network guy. In one report, he said further, furthest, he said it, I don't know, five times. Come on. I don't know. It bothers me because I do expect from professionals, and by professionals, I mean people who get paid to do things. That's the technical definition of a professional. A professional is rewarded, gets recompense, not Vice President Pence, but recompense, gets paid money to do what that person does. Amateurs don't get money. That's that simple. Now you're saying, well, hey, Frank, you know, you don't get money for the show. The show's been on for like how many years now? 17 years, and you don't get money. Yeah, but you know, I got perks and things. That doesn't matter. I've already gotten paid in a career where I did stuff that was, my hands against the, yeah, dun, 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 dun. So I think I was very disappointed. And I yell at the TV. I should, as, you know, and in the past I've done things like I've gotten to go to, and that's another, here comes Twitter again. Twitter, sometimes, the people who are celebrities and professionals who have Twitter accounts. Sometimes they are actually the people using the Twitter account. I know that for a fact. And we do know that the president of the United States currently in this day and age does it himself. And you see, he's the president. I expect some grammar from him, but, you know, you know, I did the other day. Check this out. I did the other day. There was a tweet by FLOTUS, First Lady of U.S., FLOTUS, of the T-U-S. That's the short. You know, everything's got to be shortened because of the 140 characters and because of emojis and because of texting and all this stuff. The language has changed that way. That's okay. That's a certain language and a certain code for a certain format. I'm okay with that. But FLOTUS, First Lady of the United States, sent a tweet. See, I didn't say tweet. What she tweeted out, I didn't do that because it's wrong. Sent a tweet. Maybe even sent a tweet is wrong. There was a tweet from the First Lady of the United States, and there were, and you know the president does this too, POTUS, 2, 3, 4 exclamation points. Gun the misuse of over, you know, I replied, and I don't care, I didn't care. I don't care what she was saying in the tweet. I don't care about, you know, I don't. One exclamation point for me raises an eyebrow, and it should for you too. 2 exclamation points should, like, your head should spin around. 3 exclamation points, it means you should get on the ground and scream. Shouldn't even be standing for 3 exclamation points. 4 exclamation points, it is like a force, like a huge force. And there's like, there's an explosion and you get hurled into the wall behind you. You know, or in front of you, if the surge is behind you. You know what I'm saying? Knocks you completely off and into something else. Do not use it. So I wrote to FLOTUS, stop the excessive use of exclamation points. See, people defend what they do even when they do things wrong. And then they attack you. They take it personally. And not just stop it. Now, here's what I didn't expect. I never expected a response. You're not going to get a response from the president, from the first lady, from the people, from their people, their staffs, from people in the White House or anybody else connected to anything. You're not going to get it. They're going to go, eh. But people, I got retweets and I got responses, likes. From people who said, yeah, stop it, yeah. I don't mind being alone in this particular complaint, but it's good to know there are other people. And people read it and go, yeah, stop the gosh damn exclamation points. That's an exclamation point. That's a Victor Borga was on. I know, I'm not going to go back in an explanation. If you don't know Victor Borga, write it down. Victor, B-O-R-G-E. Write it down, look it up later. Anyway, my name is Frank Cotola. Man's name adorns the title of the show. And I'm here again. We did not find Michael Swan. We will have him on again. Kenneth, as I mentioned while I was talking to Charles Dennis, if you weren't here, Kenneth Welsh will be on. He's another actor. You look up these, like I said, you can look these names up. IMDb.com. It's not a commercial. Well, I guess that's a plug, but fine. I don't care. You know, it's like I give you. And of course, on my blog, which has archives in itself, you can go back and read crap that was there from, God, shows we did ages ago. And then ask me, if you do that, by the way, and you see a show where it's, wow, this guy or this lady or this actor or this person or this politician or this speaker or this celebrity, let's just say celebrity, was on your show, please play that again. I'll do it. I will sit here and go, here's a show, a classic, because we're into that time. We're into that time in the history of this show where we could play classic Cotola Chronicles. I shouldn't say Classic Cotola, because I'm not classic. Classic Cotola Chronicles. We could do that. So if you go to
blogspot.com, CatuloChronicles.blogspot.com, and go to the left side there, the column, and go to the archives. Look through there. You'll see shows that go from way back, way back. And you can go to those shows and you can see, you'll listen. No, you can't listen. No, you can't. Some of them are too far back. You can't, but I might have them. I have shows in the archives that go back. So maybe we could play that again for you, because there are some classic shows. And people, you could email me. Just tell me. Oh, the show with Errol Flynn's daughter. How about that? My problem is finding them, too, you know. If I get a general date, I can look at the date in the archive of the file and see if it's there and what have you. Then I'll get on live, and I'll play the show again. I'll replay it. It'll sound like it's on a radio because the way I have things hooked up here. It doesn't go straight into the mic like this. Because I still don't do things the way digital radio is broadcast. I still do my stuff the old way. It doesn't matter. You're listening and you hear it, and that's all that matters, right? What's the matter? But I can do that if you want that done. Now let's go back. Because we have, I don't know, 40 minutes if I want to stay on. I could shorten the show. Nothing says I can't. It's my show. See? Let's go to, where was I? Oh, I was going to this Jock Mahoney movie from 1957. Because I was originally talking about dinosaurs. Why did I bring up dinosaurs? Oh, because of the word thesaurus. When I was a kid, I was seven. Did I know there was a thesaurus when I was seven? I don't know. But there was this movie. And now I'm alive and going to the movies with the friends, and I don't even know if I was allowed to go at seven all by myself. I don't know, but I was going to the movies themselves. We didn't have the interweb, and we didn't have phones and things, so we had to get our entertainment from television, which only had a couple of stations anyway, because it was mostly local, and movies. You go to the movie theater, and kids would go on Saturday afternoon because they'd play certain things. But there was this movie that came out, a full-fledged movie called The Land Unknown, and the way they promoted movies in these days, because they didn't have all these other stuff, they would have a comic book of the movie. And I had this comic book, and this movie had a lot. I'll read to you the little ID blurb. I don't know the subject. What is this thing called anyway? Here's what the movie's about in one sentence. How about that? Three men and a woman crash land in a deep crater in Antarctica, where they find a prehistoric world. That's it. That's what the movie's about. Directed by Virgil Vogel, or Virgil W. Vogel. Sometimes you put it was written by Laszlo Gorog. Also known as Laszlo Gorog. I love this. As Laszlo Gorog with the dots on it, because I guess he's, what is that? Is that Swedish or sweet? Is that Scandinavian? Something Scandinavian? And, okay. All right. I'm just checking my, so many windows and things and recording going on. Laszlo, okay. And, it was adapted. The screenplay was written and then it was adapted. I don't understand that. That someone adapted the screenplay. They both got credit. I don't understand how that worked. By William N. Robeson. It says one more credit. How many people would take to write? Let me look at this here. How many people would it take to write this thing? Writing credits. Charles Palmer did the story. So Charles Palmer said, how about we do a story where three men and a woman, because you have to have a female interest in there, crash and land in a crater in the Antarctic. And down there, what do you think's down there? Prehistoric monsters. Because that's what they used to call them. And said they didn't always say dinosaurs. Prehistoric monsters. The cast star. Oh, let me say it this way. I don't know if he's the main character, because I don't remember. But the star character is Commander Harold Roberts. Apparently, I don't remember how they crashed. I'm going to get into how excited I was about this movie when I was seven. Commander Harold Roberts, played by Jock Mahoney, or Jock. Boy, you don't get a more masculine name, right? I don't I don't know what name he was born. When he was born, what name they gave him. But he's known as Jock Mahoney. He is the stepfather of Sally Field. You'll have to look up Sally Field later if you don't know. Two-time Academy Award winning actress. And I don't know where you've seen her today, if you have seen her at all. 1957, Jock Mahoney. Who are the other guys? I'll just give them a William Reynolds, Henry Brandon, Douglas Kennedy, and Phil Harvey. Okay, and there's people uncredited. Oh, look, there's uncredited people in this. Man in at Briefing, Tom Coleman. This is what I love about International Movie Database. There's a guy named Tom Coleman, you meet him, and go, you know, I was in that movie, The Land Unknown. You were not. Yeah, just I was in it, but I was uncredited. Well, then you, how do I know? How can I believe that? You know, well, now International Movie Database will prove that some of these people with these names, uncredited, and were like Bing Russell was the radio operator in this movie. Bing Russell. And I don't know what his birth name, first given name. I don't know his given name. Bing. Uncredited. So Bing Russell was walking around going, yeah, I'm in that movie. He talks like the other guy. Bing. And the officer at the briefing was Bert Stevens. Now, I don't know. These people showed up later. You can look them up. They have their own page for things where they were accredited. Anyway, let's go back to this full cast and crew. The Land Unknown, 1957. There's the stars and there's everything. They have these pictures and photos. You know, the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And this, you know, the kids today who have seen the miracle of CGI and even the mechanical Tyrannosaurus Rexi. I don't know, Rexes? Is it Rexes? Or is it just Rex? Tyrannosaurus Rex. Seven Tyrannosaurus Rexes, and it's not Rexes, right? It's Rex. It's plural, same thing. Probably. Even people who have seen that will consider this cheesy, because the world did not have that technology. So they used, you know, miniatures and creatures and big mechanical things. But it still had a fun and exciting, you know, it's black and white too. Okay, kids, black and white. Cause in those days, black and white was cheaper. Silver was cheap. If you bought black and white in those days, if you bought silver in those days and kept it till later on when it really became so precious, that guys who were, and girls, people, who were, people, they were the guys or gals, people, any kind of, I don't care what kind of sex, or what sex they might be, or what their preference may be. Movies, producers, directors would make movies. It was cheaper to make it in color. Cause silver, the price of silver had skyrocketed. If you had bought silver in the days of, you know, look at this, for 99 cents on Amazon, you could watch The Land Unknown. That's certainly worth 99 cents. I'm telling you. I don't see this on any of the even on the TV show, the old movies and the old TNT, Turn of This, Turn of That, Me TV, Ant TV, Ant Me TV, from the old TV, whatever those stations may be. I don't see them. But this movie, is there anything more about this movie? It says four articles. Four news articles. Let's look at this. This will be funny, too. Jock Mahoney, Land Unknown, World Without End. Here it goes. Here, what is this? Trailers? What is this? World Without End? That's not even the movie. Four articles about movies that aren't that movie. What are they talking about here? One item. No, that's weird. That's weird. I don't understand this, International Movie Database. More articles, and then it sends to one item from 2017. Oh, it has one here, 2013. Let's see if there's an article. Interview with Dan Boltwood, creator of It Came. Well, It Came, that's not this movie. 2011. They have articles. It says, From Land Unknown, articles. And then no article. The Last Dinosaur, directed by Alexander Grasso. Okay, I'm going to have to tell you what I remember about this then, because there's no help here. Here I am, touting International Movie Database, and what happens? Let me go back to the World Unknown. It says more. Oh, I don't subscribe to the Land Unknown. I said, yeah, apparently you can pay and be a member of, everyone has every website or the thing, like they all have premiums there, right? One time there was only a porn was the only premium, right? Right? I say, right. Like someone's going to answer, right? Yeah, right. Yeah. Cause I know, cause I'm talking with you and it's only you. And this is a one to one. This is a binary experience, as they say now. Where did they suddenly start using that way? It's not incorrect. It's just, wow. It's amazing how these things pop up and become, and I say pop up. You know, when I say pop up, and a lot of people say pop, it's because popular. That's a pop is short for popular. Pop culture is popular culture. Pop up means, as popular things come to the surface. That's what that means. That's where that arises. That's the pop culture of the pop culture of the pop culture. There's alt pop culture. There is alternative pop. Yes, because there is the underground, but not anymore. There's not a lot of that stuff. Now it's all on internet. But they have pictures here. 40 photos. I clicked 40 photos. Are they going to give me 40 photos? Yes, they're the Land Unknown. Photo gallery. And the picture of a guy with a gun. Here's a Tyrannosaurus Rex. Well, that's what I was saying. People would consider this cheesy. Plus, it's got, this movie was done on a set. It wasn't done in an outdoors, making believe that the outdoors was this Antarctic prehistoric land that they found. It had a feel of it, not of a stage, but of something that was inside of a crater, you know? So it had a sense it had a feel to it. It had an atmosphere, let's say, of it being where it was supposed to be located as a movie. But the Tyrannosaurus Rex, and yes, it's prehistoric monsters, but there are other ones. Let's see this picture. Wow, you can get you get the entire picture. Look at that, 10 of 40. These pictures, I think, have been digitalized too. I can go right through these. Is that the Tyrannosaurus? I don't know. You could look at these too. But if you look at the set, I think some of it's painted, some of it's, it looks like it's not real and it's not supposed to be. It's supposed to not look fake, which is the opposite of real, but surreal. So it works. The cheapness of it, and I'm sure in those days, this was even expensive to produce. Was cheap. And here's Shelley Patterson on a raft from the crashed airplane. Here's another one. And this is great. This is two people on the same raft, or maybe three. And this eerie and surreal, like I said, I use the word surreal because I'll keep using it. You should go look for this here. And here's ready to kiss, ready to plant his lips upon Shelley Patterson's lips. And she's got shorts on and great, smooth, lovely legs, is holding her, ready to just, hey, we're in this land unknown. Let's make out while we're here. And hope a T-Rex doesn't, well, they don't know they were called T-Rex. Hope a dinosaur doesn't come after us. One on there, let's just make out. When all else fails, make out. This is, right? And then everything could be fine. And I love this picture, the shot of them from the 40 photos that are here on IMDb. He's ready to just, and man, he looks fine. He looks more handsome than she looks pretty, because she's got that 50s overworked makeup TV in that hair. Although her hair looks a bit more modern now than it did then. But there's a, Jock Mahoney. Let's see what the next one, as long as we're doing all these. Oh, here's Jock now with his hair pulled back and two of these other guys who were credited. I forgot their names already. And then, you know, they got these t-shirts on. T-shirts are ripped and sweaty because they're in the land unknown. What land is this? It's unknown. It's the land unknown as opposed to the unknown land. Why didn't they name it that? Because they wanted to give it some class. And there's something classy about using the title The Land Unknown as opposed to saying The Unknown Land. You could even hear when I say it how it sounds. The unknown land. Land unknown. He's got a pistol. And it doesn't even list everybody on this one. The next one, here's the helicopter, which of course was a toy helicopter because these are miniatures. And one of the Tyrannosauri Rexi or whatever, it's just, this, you know, this big, gorky, can't move, monster that was not animated. Now, by that, I don't mean he didn't move. What I meant was he wasn't done with stop motion camera. This is this big, someone developed this thing, and I don't even know, maybe it's a guy in a suit. And here's the helicopter. I remember the helicopter, because I remember saying, boy, if I had a helicopter like that, I was seven, for God's sake. If I had a helicopter like that, I could, and get one of those, one of these dinosaurs that they sell as toys, because they sold action figures and they sold dinosaurs, and so, you know, I could play the Land Unknown on my rug, use a couple of pillows, or, you know, make a crater. These are things I used to do as a kid. Yes, I went outside and outdoors and played things too, but I went into these worlds of my own. Little did I know how that would affect me or help me in a career. Okay, here's another one here. Here's a brontosaurus, some kind of saurus from, oh my goodness. And they're doing superimposition because here they're looking up at this, it's not a brontosaurus. It's some kind of saurus, but it's one of those ones with a long neck, so it looks like a brontosaurus, but it has like a, like a cartoon face. And of course, what they did was they superimposed the real people, the actual people, the live people. Next, Arrow, right, let's go to the next one here. There's 40 of them. Here's a wonderful picture of Phil Harvey. He was one of the guys here too. Phil Harvey. Was he? Yeah, he was. And here's a picture Shirley. I keep saying Shelley. Shirley and Jock running. And you can see this is superimposed. Running away. This is one of those play cards that they used to put on the front of or inside movie theaters. You don't remember that. They still do it now, but it was done differently in those days. And it says, The Land Unknown. As opposed to the unknown land. Here's a picture of Henry Brandon, who apparently is, I guess, he looks like he's been on this island for a while. Always one of those guys who's been on there. I've been lost here forever, you know. And there's Shirley, who I'm calling Shirley, and she's Shirley, not Shelley. Here's Jock Mahoney. You know, he looks different in every single picture. In every one of these stills, it's him, but he looks different. His hair is different, or the color is different. That's a strange accuracy that I have just discovered. Let's go to the next one. Here's a poster. Universal International presents The Land Unknown. Behind a barrier of Antarctic ice, a paradise of hidden terrors. How can it be a paradise of terrors? If it's a paradise, it's beautiful. You don't get killed there. In CinemaScope, Jacques Mahoney, Sean Smith, William Reynolds. You know, it doesn't have her name in the title. I mean, in the credits. Isn't that something? Only the male stars, excuse me, let me take a drink here because I didn't expect to talk this much. Save my voice too, I have to perform tomorrow night. By the time a lot of you hear this, I would already have it anyway. But this is fascinating because I told you the stars, and it says in the one line description of the story that there's a girl, three men and a girl, and yet in this movie poster it says starring Jock Mahoney, Sean Smith, William Reynolds, Henry Brandon, Phil Harvey, Douglas Kennedy. What happened to Shirley? Did not get credit in the poster. That's bizarre. Here's another one. Another poster, and she's still not credited. This is really weird. And this is what's really weird about this particular poster from 1957. Not only isn't she, there's a picture of a girl who doesn't look like, well, looks more like her than the guy looks like Jock Mahoney, but they're standing there together. There's a girl. And there's no girl listed in six people starring in the movie. Why didn't she get poster credit? I wonder if that's a piece of trivia. You know what we should do? We should go right to, okay, there's that. Let me go back to see if this, this is the photo gallery, The Land Unknown. Let me go back to where it has. Another good thing about International Movie Database is there should be, you know, the credit, the crew, what have you. Here's the credit, the crew. Storyline, this is longer. Let's see if there's any trivia. Because they have trivia in a lot of these. Oh, gosh. Plot keywords, no. You could write, if you become a member, you could write reviews and stuff there on this too. If you sign in. Here it is, Universal Studios, company credits. And sound mix, mono. Look at this, in black and white. Did you know, here's trivia. But this movie. This story was allegedly inspired by the discovery in 1947 of an area of inexplicably warm water in Antarctica. See more? Okay, see more. I said this trivia. Let me read the rest of this. Oh, there's more. Yeah, Antarctica. Here's another one. Trivia items. This was originally set to be an expensive sci-fi epic shot in color with a large cast and with Jack Arnold directing. Arnold actually began pre-production work when Universal decided to slash the budget, shoot it in black and white instead of color, and changed and reduced the cast, turning it from a big budget A picture to a low budget B picture. Arnold withdrew from the project and Universal assigned it to one of its contract directors. You heard it, Virgil Vogel. Here's another one. The Tyrannosaurus head from this movie was reportedly used to create Spot, a capital, that's a proper name, Spot, under the stairs of the Munster House in the TV show The Munsters. Boy, they tried to use everything. They didn't want to waste any money, did they? The question is, why did... You know, now there's an entire drama in the fact that it was taken from a high budget A movie into and slashed and right? Who knows why? That's an entire slash the budget. Something, a many things or one thing happened that set course for the future of this film being made at all. And we'll never know any of that stuff. Here's another piece of trivia. These are the great things. I should just do trivia of movies. The Navy helicopter in this is a Sikorsky S-51. For all you helicopter fans out there, the Sikorsky S-51 is the model of the helicopter. I mean, I probably had one real helicopter for the live action stuff, and then they had a replica of it as a miniature. Okay, at the beginning of the film, Lieutenant Carman is wearing the aviation green uniform, okay? This uniform was for naval aviation personnel from 1925 to until 2011, the same uniform they used. The uniform was rarely seen due to restrictions put on it by senior commanders and naval regulations. He couldn't wear it all the way through. Is that what they're saying? Or they shot around him? They didn't make that particularly clear. But that's fascinating. They're right there. There's an information with information. There was a uniform used by who? Naval aviation personnel. Naval aviation personnel. Does that mean the Air Force? I don't know. The uniform was rarely seen due to restrictions put on it by senior commanders of naval. Oh, it must be the Navy. Why do I have a question when I read a paragraph? I shouldn't have any questions. It should be expressed so that there are no questions. The cover photo of Best Buy, a bunch of stores. You know, we all know Best Buy. The cover photo of Best Buy's Classic Sci-Fi Ultimate Collection Volume 2, whatever that might be. I guess it's, I don't know. Is that a book? What is it? Best Buy's Classic Sci-Fi Ultimate Collection Volume 2, or is it a package full of CDs? I don't know, or DVDs? I don't know. Is adapted from Maggie's Encounter with a Man-Eating Squid Plant. Maggie, apparently, is who Shirley Peterson, who is not given credit on the film, on the film posters. That was her name, her character name. Wow. here it is. And this also comes to mind. For some reason or another, as we were talking, and as this show turned into this particular subject, I was not thinking of this movie. It was not on my mind. I was not thinking of Jack Mahoney, but all this stuff is stored somewhere in my subconscious in a file somewhere, and I could go grab it. You know, my saloon doors, and I put my fist through there. The saloon doors move, and I grab it out of my unconscious. But there were things I never thought I would know about this movie. I never cared to look up. But because this show ensued, and this is the way it went, because of other things that changed, I'm finding out things I never knew in my life. It goes to show you that investigating nouns, people, places, and things, either be it on this fabulous, this amazing and unbelievable, which by unbelievable, I mean incredible machine called the internet, the worldwide, whatever you want to call it, the worldwide internet, interweb, whatever. And all the things, all the information that's on here is fascinating. I don't know if I can believe it all, of course, but on this, there's no reason to lie on this thing. When I mentioned somebody going, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go to International Movie Database, and I'm going to say that helicopter in that movie, The Land Unknown, which is a movie, I don't know why they didn't call it The Unknown Land, or, you know, why, I'm going to say that was a Sikorsky S-51. I'm going to make it up and put it on there, and everyone will believe it. I don't think that happened. And I'm sure that if I copied and pasted Sikorsky S-51 into Google or Yahoo or Bing or Bingo or Yahoo or Google Who or whatever it is, I would find information about the Sikorsky S-51, no less the aviation green uniform from this movie. I had no idea. I guess in a sense, I'm saying, I don't know what you get out of that. He's like, well, big deal. Your show just got ruined because of the things that happened. No, we did our show anyway. And we will do other shows, hopefully, as long as we're alive and well and we can do them. Right? But who would have thunk? See, that's, I just use that. I know there's no past tense thought that is thunk. Who would have thought that I would be talking about this and doing this no less, giving you this information, which may be moot, may be inconsequential, may be completely worthless, meaningless, menial, and whatever else shows up on your thesaurus. But that's how I came to it, by saying thesaurus. When I was 7 and someone told me about a thesaurus, if I didn't know it was a book where you could find out synonyms and antonyms, because I didn't even know what synonyms and antonyms represented in definition anyway. But when someone said, you should get a thesaurus, or did you ever see a thesaurus? I would go, thesaurus? Is anything like the monsters in the land unknown? Which is, I don't know why they don't call it the unknown land. What? See, I didn't know. I mean, thesaurus sounds like a dinosaur. That's how we got to this particular point, which is only 6 minutes from playing the theme, and the show is over. My name is Frank Atolo, man's name we're doing, it's the title of the show. And I might be a couple of minutes short, but I will stop. I'll tell you a few things and we'll go up to the point where we leave the show. And you, for the evening. One last look at Michael Swan's out here. I'm going to now, it doesn't matter anymore, I'm going to quit. Sign out of Skype. Bing, and pew, whoop, it's going to go pew, whoop. Let's see. And then what? Sign out. You got to do that, and then quit Skype. And even think, you know, if you quit Skype, you'll lose all the things you lose. And the thing comes up. I have no idea why there was a security lapse on that either, but that's gone. There you go. So, and let me get rid of these things here, because we're going to just hit the theme eventually and get the heck out of here for now. But there you go. You could email me and ask me questions or curse at me or do whatever you want. I don't care. Frank Atolo. Everywhere you see me, I'm Frank Atolo. Well, of course. How would you know I'd be anything else? And I mean, what I'm saying is I stand behind me. I'm not faking or being a phony personality anywhere on any of these interweb things. Those Frank Atolo's me. fcatolo@yahoo.com. Write to me. Send me pictures. Send me links. Send me whatever you want. Just don't. Well, it doesn't matter because I'll catch it. If you're trying to send a virus or anything, I'll catch you. Those things I do know about. You know, I get a new device or I get emails. I understand this, how this works. I know how the criminals work. I know how the varmints try to get me. And I'll take care of that. But I don't think anybody listens to the show or has listened to any part of the show or listens to it regularly would say, I'm going to get them. But you never know. I will answer you about the show, about shows you want to hear, about topics you may want to hear, about guests, which we may try to get, I'm putting away this folder. I had no reason to use it. Wow, you know. I'll probably dream about Shelley Peterson. I said Shelley again. Look at that. Shirley Peterson. And the land unknown. That would be like, they could have called, although Arthur Conan Doyle wrote The Lost World, he could have called it The World Lost, but I guess he didn't. I know he didn't. I don't guess he didn't. Because the book is called The Lost World. The World Lost. If he'd have written The Unknown Land. That was a whole world. This is just a land. See, that's why, because it was in the Antarctica. 99 cents, you could watch it on Amazon. And only for $2.99, you could buy any one of my books, except for the ones that are $5.99 digitally at Amazon, Lulu.com, and Blurb.com. The blurb.com, of course, just the two Molotov memoirs books. Stand down, the commercial. It's okay, fine. I'll do it. Coming up on this show in September and October, of course, we'll get Michael Swann on. We're going to get Kenneth Welch on. And remember, even though you don't know these people, or you can look them up, and even if you don't look them up, you will enjoy these conversations because we're all people who have a certain amount of, we're seasoned performers, and you get to hear lots of great things. These are the things that the young stars of today that you love, if you do love them, will be talking about to when you're older, if you get older. There's a lot of ifs in life, you know? You know, there's no ands, ifs, or buts. There's plenty of ands, plenty of ifs, and plenty of buts in life. Believe me. It's true. So you could go get the books, buy the books, read the books on your various devices. Where else can you get me? I guess that's about it. Is that about it? Is that it? Yeah, that's about it. You can get me at those various places. Oh, of course, Facebook. But like I said, don't rely on Facebook because I don't rely on it anymore. I don't go there a lot. But if you do message me, you may message me there. Ask for a friendship or just, you can message someone. Can't you message someone you're not a friend, officially in, I don't know any, I don't know. Just find me. It's not difficult to find me on Facebook. Where else do I exist anyway? Nobody goes to tagged. If I say that and people go, what is that? Tagged, you know, there were so many social media sites. See, I forgot the word site, so I didn't say place because it's a place. It is a place, but it's a site. I don't know. Let's just do this. So that's the deal. My name is Frank Atolo, the man whose name adorns the title of the show. I have chronicled. I have gone to places. I say places unknown. There you go. And land unknown. It's unknown. Instead of saying unknown places, I have gone to places and topics unknown. Well, in any event, in all events, and certainly in this event, I will try once again to be here live or somehow. This is my hour, okay? So something will go on relating to Frank Atolo every Thursday night and archived at juicedtalk.com. And then me, 148.ca/Frank blogs things. I don't know. Google me, Yahoo me, Yahoogle me, and Bling me, and Blingle me, and Google. Put them all together. I don't give a rat's behind. I will see you, though. Stay healthy. Above all, stay healthy. Good night, Mrs. Ernstwhile, wherever you may be located. I'm Frank Attola, and I got a lot to do, and I got to save this voice. So I'll leave you now because I have nothing more to say.